That showed up in our house about 3 nights ago. I bet almost every one of you have an encounter with a bat. They kind of change your lives at that moment. We lost him in the house a couple nights ago, and he didn't show his face until late last night. I was not sleeping very well, and I got up and went down, got in my chair downstairs, and sat there watching the news for just a minute, as long as I could, and he showed up. I see this thing out of the corner of my eye. Sure enough, it was him. From the moment that he showed up in the house, he changed the rules. He changed what my life was about for a little while. He got my attention, and he made me do some things that I would rather not do. Chase bats, get all sweaty at 2 o'clock in the morning, take a shower at 3 o'clock in the morning, or 3:30, whatever it was. He changed the rules. Joe Mason and I have been meeting quite a bit lately. And we have been talking about these things that are going on in our community and in our world and in our nation. These riots are throughout the nation and throughout the world. You've seen them in Athens, London, Paris, in the Middle East. The nations are calling us to task, telling us that we're cretins and evil, and you name it. I don't know Mr. Floyd, and neither do you. I don't know that black officer, retired officer, that was killed, and neither do you. I don't know most of these people. But I was watching, again, this showed up last night, just by chance, on CNN, they were talking about this movement. Is this a movement, or is this really is this a moment, or is this really a movement now? They referred back to Ferguson when President Obama was president, of course, and now under President Trump. What's the difference between them two? They're God-appointed presidents. That's what I know. It is God who appoints kings. Proverbs says it is God who raises leaders and deposes them. He raises nations and deposes them. So whose responsibility is this? Whose is it? And are we to take on the new rules of the bat and start chasing him around? People are angry. You have people kneeling to one another in front of somebody else. Doesn't matter what color they are. Dr. Tony Evans yesterday said that we had a medical pandemic. We have a cultural pandemic. It's because we have a spiritual pandemic. Doesn't have to do with the Russians or Stormy Daniels or General Flynn or the COVID virus or Mr. Floyd or the governor of Wisconsin or Minnesota or any place else? Who's got the rules? Whose rules are we following? You know, it's really interesting that confusion is the key right now. It is the issue. It is the issue even to the church. If I could convince you what the issue is, then I can give you the rules. And so I'm going to convince you that it's about Mr. Floyd, or it's about the police, or it's about the governors, or it's about the president, or it's about. And I want to convince you, I'm not going to convince you so much right now that it's about sin, but I'm going to say what Dr. Tony Evans said yesterday, it is about sin. It is about sin. When we segregated, then desegregated, then did the equal opportunity, then did the busing, and did all this other stuff, these are man's tools to try to fix the problem. The problem. By the way, fix the problem that we caused. I grew up in the Northwest. There are more dams in the West Coast and up in the Northwest than there probably are in many countries alone. What they did was they said, well, we need more water, so we'll build more dams. And then when we built the dams, we've got to build these fish ladders. And then now the fish ladders aren't working, so we've got to build, you know, something else so that fish can survive. And now we've got to transport fish. You know, we've got to make fish. We've got to clone fish, or we've got to hatch fish. And then the terns show up, and they start eating all the babies. And so now we got to make an island for the terns. So they made a huge island out in the middle of the Columbia River just for the terns. And so we can kind of get them in one place. And then, back in the 1930s and 40s, we killed the sea lions off. And then the salmon, so now we got the salmon numbers up. Now the sea lions are coming back. And now, they're on all the docks and the favorite herd. I mean, just go type in Astoria, Oregon sea lions, and boy, they're on the docks, and they're stinky, and they're everywhere, and now they're eating the salmon. Now the fish are mad again, and now the wardens, because of the governor, saying you can't kill the sea lions because, you know, there's a rule. And now just this last year, they said, well, let's have a new rule. Let's go harvest some sea lions. Who's making the rules? Because I'm confused. This has all happened in my lifetime. Who's making the rules about racism? And economic equality. Did you know that Jesus said you will always have the poor with you? What are we trying to fix? What is this nation going to fix? Nothing. What is the church going to fix? What are we doing? What is our responsibility? Now, you know, I can't help but get angry. I saw the life go out in that man. And I was mad. And I had a right to be mad. But I can't fix it. I can do my portion of what God tells me to do. Now, it's interesting that last week we went through Acts chapter 6, just the beginning there. Remember the Jews and the Hellenists, they came together? And you remember when we talked about the long hatred between the Hellenists and the Jews, because the Hellenists came in and conquered the Jewish land and took over their land and called them names and renamed their land and all this other stuff. So this isn't new. And so what did they do? They did a biblical thing. They did what Moses did. They did what God told Moses and God told David. Read 1 Chronicles 20 through 26. Let's put some people in leadership of the church and do what we can in the church. Because it says this: God's throne is built on righteousness and justice. Isn't that interesting? God's throne is built on righteousness and justice. We would like to say our police department is, and our mayor's office, and our governor's office, and other offices. We're not sure. I mean, I don't know. And maybe we all do. I can tell you this. I listened into some of the city council, and I wasn't really happy about what they were talking about, controlling the community. However, I didn't place them there. But God placed this word in my hand. He has placed this word in my hand. To whom is our responsibility? To whom? one, the eternal God. And then he says, your responsibility is to your family and to your church. To your family and to your church. Because you cannot change the culture. You cannot, and it is not given to you. Now, I want to caveat everything we're going to talk about here today by saying this. We have a constitution. And it was given to us by righteous people in general. And we have a good constitution. And this is a good nation. It's been decent. It's got problems, but it's still the best experiment yet. And yet it's falling apart because it's not God's. It's not a theocracy. It is a republic turned into a democracy. They say, what's the saying? It's a republic if you can keep it, man. Because they were afraid that we couldn't. I was, again, got contacted by my cousin after I posted on Facebook, because I want to narrow my feeding here, talking about God and looking to God and doing those things. And I posted something saying God is still in control. He's sovereign and still in control. And I had a cousin who said, he's not doing a very good job. You know what I said? You haven't seen anything yet. Because the tribulation is coming. The tribulation is coming for two reasons. Because God is judge, and he's going to bring it to judge the world. Don't let anybody, you know, all you have to do, if you don't believe that, just continue to watch. Just continue. That's what I keep saying. Just continue to watch. The big word for me the last 5 years, watch. Because that's what Jesus said to do. Watch. Just watch. Watch Israel. Watch these armies coming. Watch things fall apart. Because you know what, folks? You and I are not bringing in the kingdom of God. We are not. And if you don't think that's correct, just continue to watch. Because we had the Russian thing, and then we had the COVID thing, and now we have this thing, this thing. And now what's next? We hope a break. We hope we can get the bat out of the house for a while. But we don't know what's coming tomorrow. And so, how do we take the confusion out of this? How can I take the fear out of this? How can I know what to do right now? Because this person's telling me to wear a mask, and this person's not. This person's telling me that I need to feel for this or do some kind of justice over here, and this person's not. This pastor's up marching, and this pastor's not. What do I do? Let's take the confusion out of it, shall we? God's firm foundation stands, bearing this seal. The Lord knows those who are his. And let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. So Lord, I'm running to you. Your name is a strong tower, and you are my salvation. I run to you. You're going to take care of the justice thing, and you're going to take care of the righteous thing. See, this is the wonderful thing. That, Lord, there's injustice over there. Remember Habakkuk. And go back and look at my clip on Friday night. It was at the end, it was about Habakkuk. And we've talked about him a little bit. And how he's crying because of the violence. And the Lord says, don't worry about it, I got it taken care of. Now, Habakkuk didn't like the answer. Except until the end. Read the end of Habakkuk. It's wonderful. He's just praising the Lord. He can't wait to watch. It's wonderful. But up front, he's confused. And he's angry. He's angry because of the injustice. And then he's confused. Lord, what are you doing? And the Lord says, watch. And then at the end, he's praising God. And isn't that where we need to be? Don't we want to be praising God? And people are going to look at you like you're lunatics. You're going the wrong way. I mean, all the fish are going that way. All the people are going that way, and you're going the other way. Against the stream. Because you've got this joy in your heart, and you've got this trust in your lives, and you've got purpose. And they're not going to understand you. Get in line. Nope, I'm not following your rules. I'm not following your ways because God is sovereign. Now, Paul said, and the Lord said, that the lawlessness and injustice will continue. And in fact, it will increase. And then Paul said in Romans chapter 12 that the ruler, the governor, or the mayor, or the police, or the president, or the secretary of defense, they're the boss. You realize that? Because in Romans chapter 12, the king has been given authority, and we are to fear him. And in this context, and again, this is what the Bible says, fear him because he has the sword. So he makes you follow the rules. And then at some point, we say, wait a minute, that's not the rules that God gave me. Then you can deviate. But you better be going 55 and 55. We better not be murdering people or stealing, because that's what the judge is for. That's what the president is for. That's what the Constitution's about. And that's to rule over our physical lives until it bucks up against God's. But right now, we are to follow the rules. Proverbs 8:5, by me kings reign, rulers enact just laws. By me, rulers enact just laws. Now, what are just laws? Going 55 into 55. What are just laws? You cannot meet to preach or to teach. Or to, in the body of Christ, and wait a minute, time out, that's not just, because there's a sovereign that is over you. And if we are not careful in understanding God's rules first, as opposed to the governors, or opposed to the presidents, or the police, we're on the wrong ground, because we're going to feel for somebody, we're going to feel bad, this is unjust, this is unfair, and I'm going to get involved. And that's not what the Lord said. He said, no soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, in civilian affairs, in civilian duties. Now, we may be, remember, we have the right to vote. The laws give us the right to vote. We have the Constitution. We have the ordinances, the state and city and county ordinances. And we're to follow those, and we can do those things. And I hope that you have a voice. You get to vote, so go do it. And if you serve in government, praise the Lord. Because there's doctors in government, and there's police, and there's, you know, insurance, and farmers, and all those things. So go do what you can. Because remember, if you don't work, you don't eat. So we've got to remember that, and we go work. And I happen to be a mayor, or whatever. That's good. But a Christian, his duty is to the commander. The commander of the army of the hosts. Since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him, who enlisted us, Jesus Christ, by the Holy Spirit and his word. So then he goes, an athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. Here's the rules. If you don't know the rules, we read the rules. I like what we were talking about again this morning. We say Old Testament and New Testament, so we say old. Well, we leave the old behind, right? Old things have passed away. I think about a change. I think First Testament, Second Testament. You know, somebody named the old and new, and that wasn't the Lord. There's a new covenant. No, this is really, to me, one testament. This is one. This is the word of God, and these are the rules. And so, Lord, I'm confused about the governor thing. I'm who's in charge? I'm confused about the unjust thing, and the cultural thing, and all these kind of things. I know I'm not racist. I know that but I have my proclivities, I have my problems. All right? And I have to pull them, whatever those are, I have to pull them in subjection and be humble to the word of God. Say, Lord, what do you want me to do in this? I want you to hate what happened on TV the other day. Now I want you to hate what's happening on TV today. Because it's all wrong. And I'm not going to get caught up in it. I'm going to vote and do my thing. But I'm not going to go stand in a riot. And I'm definitely not going to bow or kiss somebody's boot. You got to be kidding me. It is the hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Dan, other farmers, Sue, I'm sure, I hope you'll see to that. I know you will, because it's biblical. It's wonderful. And when we are hardworking in the gospel, this is really neat. That God is going to see that you are fit for service and life. Remember what Peter said? You will have everything for life and godliness. And so, the Lord is going to make sure that you're fed. Because His principle and His decree is, if you're a farmer, this is how it works. If you're an athlete, this is how it works. If you're a Christian, this is how it works. If you're a son or child or daughter of God, this is how it works. Don't you worry. Don't you worry. Don't get caught up in the confusion. Think over what I say. For the Lord will give you understanding in everything. And He does that through the Bible, through the Holy Spirit, and the Word. And so we come together, we try to understand this, and we say, you know what? We gotta. See, what's happening right now is the rules. Satan hijacked God's rules. Satan hijacked Adam's stewardship. And it continues. There's a hijacking of the rules. There's a hijacking of the Constitution. The inalienable rights under God has simply become my rights. And are we surprised? You would not find one father of the revolution, if you call him that, who's surprised by this tyranny. Because they lived through it. And that's why they wrote the Constitution. But remember, what happened is the Constitution becomes progressive. And the laws become progressive, just like everything else, just like nature, just like let's build a dam, let's fix the sea lion problem. You can't. You can't. What did the one man say? He said, for every solution, there's a problem. You can't fix it. Riots are about equal rights. Riots are about oppression. And we are not going to bring the kingdom of God in. And neither is Governor Nolan. John 12:8, Jesus said, the poor you will always have with you. Some groups, please bear with me, some groups are going to be abused. Just ask the unborn. We can go back to the 1400s and 1500s and 1600s of this nation and talk about the Native Americans. We can go back to the wrong economic work of slavery. We can go back to all of those things. And you and I know, would say, well, wait a minute, I wasn't there. I'm responsible for that. And you're right. You're responsible for your sin. And Daniel, remember, he prayed about the sins of his father. He asked for forgiveness for the sins of his father. But he didn't do anything else about it. He didn't get into some kind of movement because they don't work. Building dams doesn't work. It doesn't work. We do the best we can. And we pray about it and have God, the sovereign God, help us. I didn't choose my race. I didn't choose my birthday. I didn't choose my mom and dad. I didn't choose my economic status, which was very, very, very poor when I was born. And I worked. It's better. And I am very grateful. I hope you're grateful. And in fact, I'm going to throw something out here. Are you ready for this? Do you know that Jesus is actually saying it's better to be poor? Because if you're rich, to get to the kingdom it's harder. It's easier for a man to go through the eye of a needle, and that's an actual needle, I always like to say. And the Lord is saying, if you're rich, you have a problem. Well, why would I make somebody rich, especially with my money or somebody else's? That doesn't make any sense. I want to help, like Barnabas did. I have something I can give to a brother or a sister who is poor or needy or in a fix, and I'm going to help them. And that's given to me. If you see somebody that needs bread and you don't give it, shame on you, Jacob. And so we need to help them. But not everybody. First to the family, then to the church, and then we'll do what you can. I am not giving to UNICEF. Can I just name some? Okay, let me leave the secular ones behind. All right? Let me talk about CRU. Campus Crusade for Christ has changed. And I named them. We can talk about it later if you want. World Vision has changed. It's become a society or a socialistic gospel. We help the poor so to lift them up. No, that's not going to work. You help the poor and preach the gospel, you're going one better. You preach the gospel first, you're going one best. And so you have Voice of America's Purse is fantastic. And some of these others who are taking the gospel with them, and that's what they do. And that's why they're getting kicked out of New York. The parks in New York. I didn't choose where I'm at, but I'm to be grateful where I'm at. Listen, folks, we're in the kingdom of God. Rich or poor, young or old, black or white, we're in the kingdom of God. We have one father, his name's Adam, father of the seed. We have one spiritual father, his name's Abraham. What he looked like, I have no idea. It doesn't matter. Because we're in this together in God's kingdom. And we are in exile right now. Here on this planet, you are not in control. We are to share the gospel so that we can enlarge the kingdom and that the righteous prince will have his due. When everybody stands before him in the kingdom, when everybody stands up and praises God on that sea of glass in heaven, Jesus will have his due. What a wonderful day that's going to be. And we're not going to be looking around going, well, who's that? How'd she or how'd he get in here? You're going to be surprised. We're all going to be surprised. See, many preachers, and I can name some, and I'm not going to. And I'm not afraid to, but I'm just not going to. Many preachers are trying to fix the justice system. They're trying to fix the injustice. And John MacArthur, I think, says it best. And Joe Mason brought this up. You heard John MacArthur say this. When you do that, you leave people believing that they are oppressed. And you don't tell them that they are sinners. So you're oppressed, and you need to pick up the sword. You're the oppressed, and you need to kiss my boots. You're the oppressed, so you need to do this and do that, pay this and go there. No. No, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. I'm really concerned about what I'm going to do next sometimes. Somebody's made me upset. Somebody's made me mad. I see something on TV, whatever. What am I going to do? I am so angry right now. I tell you what, let's go get on our knees. Let's open up the book and say, Lord, I didn't see this coming. And Lord, by the way, the dominoes are falling one after another. Lord, please help us because where's the end? At the end of the tribulation. No, wait a minute. That's like if I could say, wait a minute. Wait a minute. You're not going to call the Babylonians down on our heads. They're worse than our people. Can you get worse than some of the stuff that's happening on the streets? Yes. Because the Bible says in that day of the tribulation, there's none like it before or after. It is going to be absolutely horrible. Two-thirds of the earth is destroyed. People are killed in horrible ways. That's what it's going to look like. And we have to face it because that's what the judge has appointed. Now, I'm going to say this and then we'll go on. But that day is appointed. Do you know how many people are going to be saved in the tribulation? Billions. I can use the billions. There's a multitude. Who are these that come out? Who are these under the altar? Who are these dressed in the white robes? These are the ones that came out of the tribulation, the angel said. Oh, and they're praising the Lord. And it takes horrible things to save people, to scare us. I told you how I got saved. I got scared. I got the hell scared out of me. Literally. And I ran up to the altar, and you know, I was in a charismatic church, and I probably ran up to the altar 7-8 times after that. Because I didn't know. I didn't realize, you know. Once saved, you're good. The Holy Spirit has you. Now understanding what is coming. Lord, you're going to save so many. It's going to be wonderful. It's going to be horrible going through that, but you're going to save so many. Save my brother, save my sister, save my friends. It's all sin. And in Matthew 24, Jesus said all these things, and he's talking about the tribulation, he's talking about the sin problem, he's talking about the apostasy, the great falling away, all of this, the man of sin. Listen to what Jesus said. All of these things must come to pass. But woe to whom which it comes. again, Gary preached half my sermon again this morning. I actually confirmed it. You turn to Isaiah chapter 30. And just real briefly, stubborn children, declares the Lord, who carry out a plan not mine? You're carrying out a plan. You're rushing around in confusion. You're carrying out what the rioters are saying, or the governor is saying, or these other things are saying. You're going to carry out that plan, but it's not mine. He says, it's not of my spirit. You're going to add sin to sin, he said. Everyone comes to shame through a people that cannot profit them, that brings neither help nor profit, but shame and disgrace. Egypt's help, and remember, this is really significant, Egypt is a picture of the world. Egypt's help is worthless and empty. Therefore, I have called her Rahab the do-nothing. Rahab the do-nothing. She can't help you. This movement can't help you. In fact, it's going to hurt you. Now, again, I'm not saying we don't care. I'm saying that we give it to the Lord, we do what we can, but if we try to change culture, it is not going to work except by the gospel. And if we're not giving the gospel, we're not doing our job. So, look, we're going to go down very briefly in a list of what to do. And Paul lays it out here. It's really good. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker, a workman, unashamed. I'm taking up his rules. I'm taking up his work in the church, in the body of Christ, in my family, and by the word of God. So, number one, share in suffering as a good soldier. Number one, get this through our thick skulls that we are going to suffer. Now, I'm just going to say this, that you know how who becomes the minority at the end times. It is the Jews and the church. And it's coming, folks. Now, you might pray we were not here, but that's the promise. It is coming, and we're going to share in those things. Two, avoid civilian worldly affairs. Three, remember Jesus rose from the dead. Well, we do that every day. Why? Because that's our hope. Why? Because there's a kingdom in front of us. Why? Because there's a whole life in front of you. So don't worry about what's going on here. Do what you can. Do what you can here. But don't worry about it. Be encouraged. Four, rightly handle the word of truth. Be in the word and understand it. Because you're not going to be confused if you understand the word. Five, avoid battle. Have nothing to do with foolish and ignorant controversies. That's pretty clear. Who is right and who is wrong? Well, this is the way I'm going to vote. This is the way I understand it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I'm not going to get into an argument over it. I've kept me out. I'm not getting in that argument. I will discuss it. I like discussing everything that's happening on the planet. But I'm not going to get in an argument over it because you can't fix it. We have now I'm meeting with Joe, so I have two meetings at least a week. And Gary and Bob and I and Bruce We meet every Tuesday and we fix all the problems of the world. And then we do it again next week. Depart from iniquity. Keep yourself holy. Be right with God. Do not be quarrelsome. Be kind to everyone. Everyone. Able to teach patiently enduring evil. So you're being kind to everybody, but you don't leave the teaching behind. You don't leave the gospel behind. If we're not taking the gospel with us, it's a social gospel. Number 9. Correct opponents with gentleness, that God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth, that they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil after being captured by him to do his will. You remember that in the end times, the devil is going to be able to deceive everybody except the elect, if it were possible. Even the elect, if it were possible. But it's not possible with the elect if they're in the Word. So we know the Word, and so we say, well, you know, cousin, I know you say it's bad now, but and you've been kind of concerned about that, and you're really not listening to me anymore, but do you think it's going to get worse? You know why I told her that? I thought about that. And so I'm going to tell her that. I'm going to tell her it's going to get worse. Because I want her to see it coming. And this is great because it's not me who said it. It's the Lord. And so when things start going down, when people say, there's no God, or there's none of this happening, or you know, we're bringing in the kingdom, or everything's going to get better, and all this other stuff. I told you about a family member I had for decades. He kept telling me things are getting better. See the medicine, see this, see that, see that. I said, sir, it's not getting better. It's getting worse. Yeah, things like that are getting better because we're becoming the power of Babel, and we can kind of work some of these things out. But it's getting worse because Jesus promised them. And now it's coming to fruition. So I told her that because I said, I want her, when she sees the next domino fall, to say, what is he talking about? He's talking about the Word of God. He's got the rules. Hey, he's got the rules. I love the rules. It's hard for me, but they're God's rules. The biblical principles are God's. And if we share this stuff out of gentleness, then hopefully they can say, okay, I changed my mind. I repented. And now I'm delivered from the hand of the devil who had me in the first place, who had every one of us in the first place. The biblical principles. You're personally responsible to God and God alone. You're personally responsible for yourself and your family and your church. Okay? You're responsible to him, rules, guidance. You're responsible for your family, yourself, and your church. And know this, that sin is the problem. The culture is going to need money. It's going to need medicine. It's going to need justice. And we can do our part in those things, but we're not going to fix it. Do you realize, Joe talked about this, and whether we should say this or not, and I don't know if Joe's going to say it this morning or not, but I'm going to. Do you realize that there's never a collection taken up for anybody but the believers? Now, listen, folks, I'm not saying don't take a collection up for your neighbor or somebody who needs it. But if we're focusing on a social justice system, it is wood, hay, and stubble, and it's going to burn. It's not fixing anything or anybody. In the Bible, there are some who are going to be well-to-do. Everybody's going to work, and everybody's going to try to make their lives better and the church's life better. But listen, we're not building with wood, hay, and stubble. We're building with gold. We're building with the precious jewels that are of the kingdom. Because they're going to last forever. That soul that you touches and goes into eternity is a bright star in heaven forever. Forever. The Lord says. That's pure gold. So God is sovereign. He is going to bring back the justice that we need. He is going to fix the injustice that we see to every person that we see die in vain. He's going to bring justice. Let him handle it. Trust in him. And again, he's given you the right to vote and those kinds of things and do it. Things, and finally I'm going to finish with this, things are not falling apart. It looks like it. And if you're confused, and the world confused, and remember, I've been saying this for months now, I'm trying to keep track of the journalists who say, have you seen what's going on? And they're arguing with The Economist and all these other people. What's our problem? What's going to fix it? They keep asking these questions. It's like the COVID virus. Do I wear a mask or don't I? They're confused. They don't have the answer, folks. Why would we look to them? Things are not falling apart. They're falling together. The sovereign God is bringing all of these things together. And you and I would rather say, well, Lord, I would have rather seen that page, you know, you would rewrite that page, but you didn't. Matthew 24 is hard. And some of these other places, things are hard. And do you see, Habakkuk says, do you see what's happening to my people? And the Lord says, I saw it before you. I saw it coming, and I know how to fix it. And we're not going to like his fix, but we're going to say, okay, Lord. And then at the end, we're going to rejoice. You know that every psalm, basically, I mean, the psalms kind of go like this. They bring the Lord, the sovereign Holy Spirit over David or Asaph or whoever. They bring this problem, and at the end, they're praising God. Lord, and all this stuff, and then at the end, they're praising God. Because they've reached out to him, they've poured out to him, and their anxiousness and their needs and their sin, they're confessing their sin. Lord, I mean, you know, and then at the end, man, he's just lifting up his praise. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Help us through this. I pray for you every single morning. I pray for you by names, not all at once. I'd never get out of my seat. Pray. Lift each other up before the Lord. The sovereign King. Who's concerned about which president we have? But is he more concerned about the president that he has? Or the child and the people? His son and daughters. That whole thing where you crawl up in his lap and you say, I'm the Father. He cares. And he's sovereign. And we're going to see his justice. We're going to see his wrath. And it's going to look like things are falling apart. But you just tell your cousin, wait. Just wait. Wait. Wait a minute. He shall renew your strength. He'll lift you up on the wings of eagles.